Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The outstanding, and we wish happy Thanksgiving and are very thankful every week to have Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
Thank you for having me, and definitely a happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well. As always, it's my pleasure to be here.
Before we get to anything with the Steelers, it's only my opinion, but I just feel like that Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco, and Philadelphia are the only four actually really good teams in the NFL, and the other 28 aren't. What do you think?
I think that's fair, and I think let's look at it again in 3 weeks and see if we say the same thing. Because right now, I know who's rising and falling. Where they land at the end of all this is really where it's going to where it's going to matter. I don't know if we've seen a team that's unbeatable. You know, we thought Buffalo was unbeatable. Josh Yes. Allen was without question the MVP. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen has played legitimately like the 24th ranked quarterback in the NFL the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
He's hurt. I get it. I'm not trying to take a personal shot at him. I'm just saying there, a lot can happen in this league. I watched that Eagles game. The Colts won the game. You know, they didn't get the decision, but they won the game. Philadelphia looked completely mortal and completely human. Not capable of doing the things that you would expect them to do. I saw a San Francisco team last night that played, I thought, exceptionally well.
Yes.
Against, you know, we're not going to put the Cardinals into this conversation, I think, in a couple weeks. But San Francisco looked like the dominant defensive team that they are, along with an offense that is versatile enough to be able to make plays when they need to. It's parity gone crazy. You know, I think there's enough in the league to say right now that, you know, seeding is important, but it goes a lot deeper now. It's not that home field advantage doesn't matter, but if you take out two byes from everybody, one team is going to get that. Maybe that makes them a little more rusty in a game that they really seem to be adapting more and more each week. Having that other game experience, excluding the wear and tear that comes with it, might be a benefit in some ways. I think everything is just up in the air. I'm not sure. I know who good teams are, and you're right. I think those four would qualify for that. I definitely don't think any of the four of them are unbeatable. Where we sit right now, I could see any one of them getting upset, which is what, you know, probably will end up happening for where they'll be seeding wise. But we don't know the team that's going to get hot here at the end and grab a 5, 6, or 7 seed and make a little bit of a run at it. I would, you know, almost to the point of expect that to happen, just the way this league is going right now.
Steeler fans are experiencing something that most other cities experience during the course of a football season when it isn't going well. On days where the offense where the defense plays really well and lights out, the offense doesn't do its part. On days where the offense does just fine and produces some points, it's the day the defense has an off day. What did you see Sunday against the Bengals?
I thought first half, I thought they did reasonably well. Defense struggled a little bit early. Here's the big thing. I think, and this isn't to suggest that Joe Burrow has to force the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. I do think, though, Burrow with almost like, I think he's those types that if he is focusing on one thing and not having to move it around all over in a balanced way, which is what he did when he had Chase and Higgins. He just went with Higgins, who made some big-time plays in that game. He's a great player. I don't think anybody is surprised by that. Got the better of Levi Wallace a couple times. He's got other weapons, but when things are a little less, this is weird to say, but a little less dynamic in Cincinnati, I think Burrow works better in that. Less chaos, more let's just go with what works. He handled the pressure that Pittsburgh was generating in the second half a lot better than he did in the first. If you notice a couple times that the Steelers went with kind of a muddle look up at the front, or they showed three different gap blitzes, Burrow called timeout to get out of those twice. And they're doing that because, you know, I've said this on this show before, Burrow doesn't read the front seven particularly well.
Right.
It's not a full skill of his. He doesn't call out protection well. And I think that's what kind of tricks him up a little bit. Cincinnati did a better job protecting him in the second half, certainly better than they did in week one. And that helped. But overall, Pittsburgh can't hang with that. They don't have enough. I thought Pittsburgh played well. They were competitive in the first half. I don't think they played their best, but we saw some good football in a couple consecutive series out of Kenny Pickett. I thought they did a little bit more up front on the ground. I thought they ran successfully. It fell apart in the second half. And I think a lot of that was just they don't have enough pages in their playbook to continue what they're doing. I thought their early on game plan, their scripting, and their initial adjustments to that, the last couple of weeks they've done a better job with that. But second half, things didn't work. They couldn't get out of first gear. Cincinnati just leaned on them. And for what was left of what they could do or what they were calling, Cincinnati was prepared for it. They went like three and out, three straight drives or four out of five or something like that. Just the typical 2022 Steelers slogging offense. And by that point, you're throwing haymakers at a defense that I thought held up pretty well to a very talented, very deep offensive team. And Burrow played some phenomenal position football over the fourth quarter. Yeah. I remember I made a comment like this in the fourth quarter. I believe it was at that point, it was 27-23 Bengals. They had just taken the lead. Pickett was getting the ball with about 9 minutes left. My thought was, all right, well, two, maybe three drives here are going to define this game. Mm-hmm. Kenny, let's see what you're made of right now. He didn't do anything, and Burrow crushed him on the ones that he had. I mean, it was, for him, he didn't need to do more, but he certainly did. He was at his best when they had a lead and they needed to put it away. He did. Burrow, I mean, I'm not trying to compare where Kenny Pickett is right now to Joe Burrow, but Burrow played a sensational game. I think clearly his best against Pittsburgh in that fourth quarter. He was lights out. They really had something that worked. They found it over the course of the game. There's a better, deeper team. I'm not surprised overall by the result, but Pittsburgh did battle. 9 minutes left, they were within a possession, and they had the ball. So not a horrible moral loss. That doesn't matter. But at the same time, if you're looking for consecutive wins over and over again for a Steelers team that's 3-6, I'm not sure you're watching the right things you should be watching. They're building still, and I think Cincinnati should have been the favorite in the game, and they were. And I think the score wasn't necessarily reflective of the quality that was played in the game, but Pittsburgh just didn't have the gas at the end.
All right, so now we're getting a decent sample size of Kenny Pickett. Is he getting better, or is he treading water?
I think I hate this because I keep going back to this. When he had George Pickens streaking down the field and somehow or other, he didn't quite see it right away. And he should have. He released the ball way late. He was under pressure. That was the first half. That was really the big blemish on the first half. But it's like there are still those plays. We're still seeing those things. The overall product is better than it was when he made his first start in Buffalo, no doubt. I'm hoping it continues to elevate to the point where they might be able to use him as more of a primary weapon on the offense. They can get more out of him. He's staying in the pocket better. Protection was pretty bad in this game, and Cincinnati's a real good defensive front team. It's hard to expect the pocket to be clean all the time. I thought he did some good things in the first half, and I thought it wasn't just Pickett making mistakes. The entire offense just stalled midway through the third quarter, through the end of the game. It wasn't good, and that's not entirely on Pickett, but we saw good things from Pickett for four quarters if we go back to the win over the Saints. The second half, I thought he played well. The first half against Cincinnati, along, adding in what was a pretty significant mistake, I think he played well, and he's protecting the ball, which is something he wasn't doing right away. I think we're seeing him get better. It's not good enough. I don't think anybody would argue that, but we are seeing him play better football than he was, and that should be encouraging. Obviously you want to improve, but look at the ground he's covered before we worry about his ceiling, before we worry about the long-term viability. See where he's come for now. Let's continue to see where he is. over a couple games. You know, at the end of that time, at the end of the season, if we're looking at a player who largely resembles what started week five or whatever that was against Buffalo, you have more of a problem. But you have to like the trajectory he's on. It's pretty slow. Again, not an elite guy, not somebody that's going to win on traits alone. There's a lot of things that need to be set up for him. But I think he's doing reasonably well. We can't be too down about it right now. He's got to continue to grow, and unfortunately he's going to have to grow in every area because, again, he's not an elite trait guy. But they're able to make hay with what he has. He's a reasonable option at the quarterback position right now.
Back to my original question about really only four teams that we think are, everybody else is rather nondescript. We now bring you the Colts and the Steelers on Monday Night Football, a national TV audience. How do you view this showdown between the most experienced coach in the NFL and the least experienced coach in the state of Indiana?
I think there's going to be a lot of
the entire. I mean, the entire state of Indiana.
Yeah, it's you know, it's funny because we coming off of Monday night last night. The whole bit is that Cliff Kingsbury hasn't had a team, you know, finish over 500 in his entire career.
Very true. Very true.
Hey, Jeff Saturday tops that. He was coaching in high school and didn't finish over 500. So maybe that's not important, I guess, to some. I don't know. I think this game is such a toss-up because, again, I said this before, too. The Colts won that game. I mean, they played well.
Yeah, they did.
Not great. But defensively, they were alive. That was a real impressive game from them. Situation didn't hold out. Philadelphia just has a ton of talent. But Indianapolis was giving them fits. That's a tough team to beat. And I think the Steelers are very similar. It's almost like, in a lot of ways, there really are some pretty favorable comparisons between the two. Now, that's not bragging about either one of them. I'm just saying they look to be at very similar points in their development, and the whole world's gone topsy-turvy in Indianapolis. But where Pittsburgh is for their talent level, minus a veteran quarterback, you have a lot of the same similar stuff on offense, what they're trying to do and what is working when they are successful. And Indianapolis's defense, I think, is playing well. They're capable of playing well. For what they have. And I don't know. I was talking to a buddy of mine. I don't know if this game, it could be 37-34 and it could be 17-16. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know which of each team is going to show up or how they're going to react to each other. This one's really kind of a toss up for me. I'm not sure. I think Pittsburgh overall is probably the better team. I'm not going to count out the veteran presence of Matt Ryan, but we've seen Steelers defense rip a veteran quarterback with nothing else around him before. In fact, the quarterbacks have looked a lot like Matt Ryan, and the team has looked a lot like the Indianapolis Colts. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're able to really just kind of shut him down and coast to a pretty easy win. I feel like Pittsburgh has a pretty strong offensive game coming. The pressure is turned up there, but it's just such a weird matchup and a weird situation in Indianapolis. I don't know which way to go with it.
Finally, where do you stand on Jeff Saturday?
If I didn't know any better, and we didn't know the history of Jim Irsay as far as the quarterbacks are available, I'm going to have all kinds of, you know, interesting moves, particularly at the quarterback and head coaching position, and I'm going to wind up with the top pick. If we didn't know that, I'm not sure how we would think about it outside of, okay, you really want to save money for the rest of the year. I will say this, though, and an understandable point of consternation, Fritz Pollard Alliance, for example, is understandably confused as to how all this went down.
Yes.
We oftentimes see minority coaches made interim coaches and put into a position to fail. I might argue Jeff Saturday is a good candidate for a team that isn't expected to do anything else, that's expected to overhaul most of its front office as well as its roster next year. Why have a head coach in the position to fail? Because it's the same thing as in Carolina, Steve Wilkes gets,
yes,
you know, undue pressure in the situation that they're in. I personally think he's availing himself pretty well.
Yes.
You can make that argument as well. But how about this? They named Jeff Saturday the coach. They asked Scott Milanovich, the quarterback's coach, to call plays, and he said no. Why do you think that is? Because he doesn't want to put himself in a position to fail.
Right.
Instead of the embarrassment of saying you offered it to all these people and nobody wanted it, you just say that Jeff Saturday's your guy the whole time. I don't know. We could go back and forth on this for days.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there is a successful interim coaching plan, and I think that's kind of the point. So as far as Saturday, certainly it's a surprise move. He's not even on the staff. It seems like, you know, the players are responding to him. I thought they put up a reasonable effort for what we could expect those teams to have done. More of the problem here in my mind is it takes the shine off the fact that you benched Matt Ryan.
Yes.
Because you wanted to, what, take a look at Sam Ellinger? Come on. Yeah. That's come on. I'm not buying that. Jeff Saturday being the interim coach is less of a surrender flag in my mind than putting Sam Ellinger in the game in a year that there are multiple pretty good-looking quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And this has been what Jim Irsay has done in the past. You might recall Peyton Manning was on injured reserve, and the Colts started Curtis Painter at quarterback that
yes.
season. It's yep. not that there weren't other options. It's just like, why is this guy out here? They did a lot of weird things that year, and lo and behold, Andrew Luck, the best, you know, quarterback prospect we would have seen since Manning, is the grand prize for losing. So it kind of seems like maybe he dipped into that playbook a little bit. That's why Ellinger is out there. Frank Reich is a good coach. If you look at the amount of support that Frank Reich has gotten from players, coaches, fans as well, we just ran something in Sports Illustrated about Nick Sirianni screaming in profanity to the crowd. That was for Frank Reich. He was so excited about the win to dedicate it to the fans of Frank Reich's previous team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's support, you know, makes you kind of wonder if Irsay is not just ripping the whole thing down for the sake of better draft position. We're not going to win anyway. I'm not going to pay these guys to keep on with this. I'll just say, look, thanks. I'll pay you. Checks in the mail. Just get out of here. Wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. I can't prove any of that. I'm not trying to prove any of it. I'm just saying that it, all in all, it's all really strange. As far as Jeff Saturday goes, I think a lot of sense is made over just the idea that I'd stop short of saying that they're tanking, but nobody would want to take this on reasonably. Nobody would, and nobody would get a reasonable evaluation for what they could do with what they have in place. Because now they had to put Matt Ryan back under center. That looks weird. That's damaging to the team. Saturday, for his part, if they fail miserably, everybody expected them to, and he goes away and nobody cares. You put in a legitimate coaching candidate into that spot, it could hurt their career, and that's not right either. So maybe it's not the worst move.
Thankful for you as always every week. Thank you so much, Neil.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.